Good evening and welcome to another edition of Agar Meditation. Today, our topic is desire, a cause for worry and a cause for change. Desire is the cause for everything. If you want to innovate, there has to be a desire. If you want to invent, there has to be a desire. If you want to change, there has to be a desire. But desire itself can drive your life in different ways. Either it can drive your life to a plane of addiction, or it can drive you to a plane of liberation. But desire is the one fundamental reason why we have even been born, we have taken birth. So having said that, we should not lose sight of the fact that we decided to come here because of a desire. We should not lose sight of that. We have to use this opportunity for all those appropriate reasons why we have come. We must use desire to liberate ourselves. We must use desire to drive ourselves towards contribution, to empty ourselves, to teach, to share, to celebrate. It has to be used for all the positive reasons. And one of the fundamental principles that we follow in Agar Meditation Group is to drive the desire to change, drive the desire to liberate. And that's what we want to emphasize. And that's the reason why we conduct these meditations. That's the reason why we also conduct our day outings. And that's the reason why we conduct our travel also. So now let us begin today's practice with Agar Meditation. We'll first start with the maypole, as always, to center our awareness, and we'll come back to revisit the desire that we hold within. So think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. For those of you who are joining for the first time, sit with your back, neck, and head straight. If you're sitting on a couch, on a sofa, make sure that you come to the edge of it so that your hips are at a higher level than your knees. If you're sitting on a chair, don't use the backrest. Move to the edge of the seat, edge of the chair, so that your hips are at a higher level than your knees. If you're sitting on the ground, make sure you do not use the wall as a backrest. Instead, raise your hips so your back is straight and you feel comfortable. So think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. The size of the circle is as wide as when you stretch your arms out and your fingers are extended. It's on the ground. In front of you, imagine, think, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top. The sphere itself represents your higher consciousness. You can replace this sphere with any name and form of God or Guru whom you worship. In your inner scene, see yourself getting up from your seat and walking up to this pole. And hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. Connect it to this ribbon. Walk back to your seat as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any clutter, let go of any anxiety, any restlessness that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other, for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain or distress, or any anxiety, any anger, any disappointments that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other, for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative experiences that you may be carrying in any part of you for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any fatigue, any tiredness, or even a sense of weakness that you may be carrying in any part of you for 2 or 3 breaths. And now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this divine love. As you breathe out, let go of everything that is preventing you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, or anything else that you wish to release. Continue to breathe in this divine love. As you breathe out, release everything negative from the past. come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. The Maypole is a practice that I've been using consistently for 2 years. Now, several people in the group have been practicing the Maypole regularly. They've also seen certain transformations. For those people, I want to suggest a small shift in the practice, an upgrade. So what you do is, when you ask your higher consciousness for relaxing energy, I want you to just not stay with just two or three breaths. Go further, go deeper, as long as you can retain focus. Go on relaxing. You will see your breath just relax. You will see your breath just slow down. You will see the breath become longer, deeper, and you will see the mind will become absolutely clear. The same thing happens when you ask for healing energies. When you ask for healing energies, just allow it to come to you and go through you to wherever it has to go. The healing energies all flow through you. Relaxing energies flow through you. They come to you, and after relaxing you, they go to wherever it has to go. All these divine energies are intelligent, so they know when you call them, they come to you and they go through you to wherever it has to go. So go through this practice where you take each of these relaxing energies, healing energies, cleansing and purifying energies, strengthening energies, and divine love. Take all these with extended number of breathings until you feel completely in one with the higher self. It is a practice which can really cleanse you, really uplift you. That's what I want you to do for those of you who have been practicing regularly. For those of you who are new, just practice just two or three breaths. The reason why we practice two or three breaths is because we are so tuned to holding on to stress. We are so tuned to holding on to all the emotions that we've been holding on to every day, that when you release it, you're quite unsure how it feels. It is like you're holding on to a rope which is not strong enough to take your weight. Nevertheless, that's the only support that you have. Now, someone gives you, or rather throws a rope which has a stronger base. Somebody, there are several people holding on to the rope at the top, or probably it is tied to a tree. And they ask you to hold on to the rope, you'll have a question. What if? What if that rope is not as strong as the one that I'm holding on to? That's because you're so used to holding on to something, even though it cannot support you for long. At this moment, because it is acting as a support, your belief in that weak support is stronger than a belief in a new support system. So which is why you do not practice more than three breaths. If you try to practice more than three breaths, the moment you release all these unwanted energies and frequencies, you will actually pick on some new ones and you get more irritated. Which is why you just start with three breaths. The ones who've been practicing for long, you can increase the number of breaths and actually go through the process of relaxation. So we've been sharing several trips and tips and tricks with the mind, how we can use the mind, which is such a powerful tool. We've been sharing with you so many tips and tricks, and these tips and tricks really, really work well. And so the higher consciousness brought us here because we asked it to. It is our desire, and the higher consciousness just manifests it for us. So we asked the higher consciousness to bring us to this earth because we wanted to empty ourselves and go back to it, to merge with it. But once we have come here, the only thing that we remember is desire. It could be desire for food, desire for sweets, it could be desire for money, it could be desire for wealth, assets, It could be desire for clothing, desire for shoes, desire for watches. It could be desire for to look in a particular way. It could be the desires are endless. But the desire to empty yourself and merge with the divine is lost. And that is what you need to resurrect, because as God would have it, the higher consciousness constantly reminds you of why you came here. I want you to listen to this carefully. The higher consciousness reminds you time and again why you came here in the first place. And the way the higher consciousness reminds you is that it takes away from you everything that you are attached to, one after another. It takes away everything that you're attached to. And when you experience that pain of losing what you're attached to, then you turn to God. You turn towards the higher consciousness. So the practice that we are doing here are primarily to free ourselves of these attachments so we don't have to go through the suffering. And we constantly remind ourselves of why we came here in the first place. There are certain desires, understandably. You need an automobile, that's a desire, and you need a comfortable automobile. It's a desire. It's not a bad desire. It is a desire. There's some places like the West where even today, even in India, there's several places where you can't navigate without an automobile. You can't transport yourself without an automobile. So you need one. So it's a desire. At times you can't hire one. You have to own one. A watch is necessary to look at time. A mobile phone is necessary for you, for your communication and for ease of use, because technology has advanced so much. For those of you who really use technology, a mobile with certain features becomes extremely important. But none of these desires must overtake your desire for freedom. You should not forget freedom. For example, when you buy a new mobile, then the first thing that you do is you log into your Instagram, you get into Facebook, and you just want to know how smoothly this mobile will scroll. But very quickly you start getting used to this habit of scrolling, that you go on, and this habit gets on to you very quickly, and the desire for freedom is lost. So you have to constantly and consistently remind yourself of this freedom. You have to remind yourself of this freedom. This is necessary, because the mind left to itself will drive itself to pleasure, will drive itself to social media, will drive itself to glitter, to glamour. It'll drive itself to quick change, which is what happens when you scroll. You're seeing different colors change within a second. And that's what the mind wants. It wants variety. It loves variety. It does not like anything which is constant, which is why we have to use the mind to bring into a consistent practice. You have to keep being on it. You have to be on the mind all the time. Even after years of practice, if you even for a moment assume that finally I've got it, the mind will let you down. It'll just sneak in and show you, no, you haven't. And that's the reason why you constantly have to practice, so that you can curtail desires. I'll give you an example. Swami Paramahamsa Yogananda. So when he was in California, he had a vision of a building that he needed for as a center, from where he will establish the center in Encinitas, California. So in his vision, he saw this building, which looked in a particular way. And when he reached Encinitas, California, he actually saw the building that he had in his vision. And this is what he says, that I had the desire to own this building so that it can operate as the center for Yogoda Satsanga. But it's only after purchasing the building, after he got the donations to buy the building, and then only after purchasing the building did you realize the trouble that came with it to maintain it. So until you fall behind the desire and actually manifest your desire, you're not sure the consequences of having the desire. So it's important for you to be really smart. When the desire comes, you have to really step back. It is like waves in a sea, right? When the waves come, it's so nice to wet your feet in the waves. Let it just touch your feet, the cool water. And after some time, you just want to be foot deep in water, then ankle depth, and the knee depth, and waist depth, chest deep, and then you want to swim in the sea until a wave just comes and just takes you away. So this desire is never enough. You just want a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. It's simply not enough. The mind will never be satisfied. There is no such thing called satisfaction for the mind. And that's the reason it's so important to curtail our desires. But it's not easy to curtail the desires, especially if you're habituated to creating one desire after another. But you have to start somewhere. And the way you start is the maypole. Now today we'll practice stepping away from the desire so that we know what we must do. But you must be very serious. I use the word serious, which means that you must be really committed. You must not be casual about your commitment. You have to honor your commitment. And you have to be at it all the time. There are several times when I look at something and I say that I want this. But then I step back and I say, do I really want it? The mind will say, yeah, I want it, I want it. But then I step back, I wait for 2 days, 3 days. Then I wanted to buy my Apple MacBook Pro, I waited for 6 months. I wanted to make sure that it was a necessity and not a luxury. It's a fantastic machine. It's a fantastic invention. But do I need it? To make sure, I waited for 6 months. But after 6 months, when I was clear that this is a necessity and not a desire, then I bought it. Sometimes you just have to wait it out because the mind's noise is just too loud. So let us now practice what it means to step away from this desire. So I just want you all to just sit straight. You can keep your eyes closed. And now I want you to think of something that you desire, something that you want. It could be anything. It could be a gadget. It could be a wearable, it could be some jewelry, it could be a pet, it could be a house, it could be a large television, it could be anything that you desire, that you want to have. I want you to just visualize this desire, and now what I want you to quickly do is to just pull yourself back and visualize that this desire is on a projection screen. So I want you to create the distance between you and the desire. The desire is on a projection screen and you are watching it. If the desire tends to pop out of the projection screen or tends to come too close, just step back. Maintain the distance between you and the desire. Just observe it. Don't indulge. Just observe. Do not indulge in the desire. And if their desire is overwhelming, overpowering, then just hold on to the ribbon and ask your higher consciousness to raise your vibration, to just lift you up. You can just ask the higher consciousness to lift you up. And then watch what happens. But don't follow the desire. Don't look for it. Don't try to find it. What happened to the desire? Anyone here was able to just overcome the desire? With a show of hands? Yes. Yes, Inoshiji, can you please unmute and say what happened?
So it just became white. The screen, I could see what I wanted. And then when I asked my higher consciousness to lift me, the screen just became white.
Super. Super. Thank you very much. Is anyone else? Yes, Sumeshji.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So the screen became blank. I don't know.
Screen became blank. Good. Purnima? Yes. Purnima Prabhu, can you please unmute?
I was blank. I forgot the desire.
You forgot the desire. Very good. Yes, Rupa?
That image disappeared, doctor, actually.
That image disappeared. Very good. See, it's so simple. It's not easy. It is simple. It's so simple. So simply you can lift yourself above the desire. But you know what you just did was take back the power that you invested in manifesting that desire. You had invested power in manifesting that desire, which is why the desire itself had so much strength. It is your energy. It is your life force energy which you have invested in manifesting the desire. Now understand your responsibility. This is where you have to understand your responsibility. You are creating all the desires. There is nothing else. You are using your own energy to manifest these desires. All of them are manifestations of your thoughts. And now you can stop. You can stop investing in manifesting the desire if it's not worth it. You know, I always tell people, what is self-worth? Is it good for you to invest your energy in something that's going to control you? How much do you value yourself? Do you value a gadget more than you? Right? So you must always practice holding yourself in such a strong position that nothing at all will shake you. Nothing should be able to shake you. That's called self-worth. You value yourself above everything. Which means that when you have this humongous amount of self-worth, the moment you see an opportunity where you can share, where you can help, where you can assist, you will jump to that opportunity because this is an opportunity for you to demonstrate your self-worth. I value myself so much that I'm just going to assist this person and pull him out of the suffering because he's asking for help. I know it's possible by me. Let me jump in first. When someone tries to instigate me, I'm just going to hold myself in such high self-esteem that it's not worthy for me to lose my temper. My temper is too precious to lose. My anger is too precious to lose. My feelings are too precious to lose. I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to stay calm. I'm not going to allow anyone to disturb me. No one can disturb me. Nothing can disturb me. Because I'm just too precious. That's self-worth. So if you must have a desire, the desire should be to hold yourself in high self-esteem, because self-esteem or self-worth is what will give you the self-confidence. And without self-confidence, you cannot have self-realization. When you don't have self-confidence, how would you even know if your higher consciousness is talking to you? You will question, is it my mind? Or is it my heart which is speaking to me? I really am not clear. I'm not sure. So you must hold yourself in high self-esteem. You must love yourself so much that anyone who comes, you're going to treat them with love. And so every experience becomes an opportunity for you to increase or enhance your self-worth. It is like a lotus plant. It blooms in adversity. It blooms in the slush. If you have to pluck a lotus, you just have to take a boat. You can't walk in the slush. It is too yucky. But in the yuck, in the muck, you have this beautiful lotus which has bloomed and you want it. It's only through adversity that you can experience glory. Without trouble, life would be a bore. No challenges, it's boring. You must have beautiful stories to tell. Stories to tell how you overcame adversity. So the desire to inspire others must be very strongly embedded in you. And how would you inspire others? You wouldn't want to inspire others by telling other people's stories. Other people must tell your stories. That's how you need to inspire others. So that desire to change should come from wanting to become better than your own self. And unless you are willing to contribute, it won't come. And the willing to contribute comes when you realize that I don't need anything more. I have everything that I need. Unless that realization comes to you, you cannot start contributing. Because every time you see an opportunity, I want this, I want this, I want this. You are in the wanting. You have the desire which has consumed you. Just the product changes, but the desire continues. And so you have to come to this realization. And how do you realize? Just look around you. Look around you in your living room, in your bedroom, in your wardrobe. Just see how much you have. Do you have enough or do you have more than enough? If you have more than enough, size down. And how do you size down? Give it away. And there's so much joy in giving to someone who needs. You will see the gratitude in their eyes. When you see that, it really fills your heart. And that will push you to do more. You have to do it once. It'll push you to do more. So we have several practices that we have on our website, Nadi Chikitsa Institute for Ayurvedic Studies. You can go there. There are several practices that you can look up, you can download, you can practice. And one of the practices that I want to talk to you about was something that we experienced yesterday. My daughter was outside. She had finished her rehearsal and she said, I'm not getting an auto. I've been trying. So I called her and I said, where are you? She said, I'm trying to book an auto and I'm not getting an auto. I asked her, did you practice the hourglass? She said, no. I said, practice it. She knows the practice. I don't have to teach her. But just that she forgot about it. And then after reminding her, she practiced it, and within a few minutes, she called me and she said, "I got an auto." We should not have the desire to crib. We should not have the desire to complain. We must have the desire to change the situation. We have the power and the ability invested in us. So when we do that, we will not be bogged down by the situation. So when a situation arises, the question should arise in your mind, what can I do in the situation? Because the power is always already invested in you. You've already been given the mind, the senses, the intelligence, the intellect, the power to reason. All of it is already given to you, and it has polished itself with years of experience. So now you reason, how can I change? I'll give you an example. More than 10 years ago, I was in Haryana and I was training Ayurvedic doctors. I was there on an assignment for 28 days, and there were three training programs where I had to train the government Ayurvedic doctors. So the first training program was on, and then I was, the director of the program came to me and he said, the second training of 8 days is not happening, which means that I'm going to be without work for 8 days. And what do I do? My family is in Bangalore. What would I do for 8 days without work? When he said that, he said, the Panchakarma people want to do a workshop, so your 8 days is off. So you have a holiday for 8 days. I just sat back, I just leaned on my chair and I said, "Hey Bhagawan, tu sambhal. God, dear God, you take care." I just said that. I just let it out. I didn't waste a moment in fretting and fuming and complaining. Within 10 minutes, the director came back and he said, "Man ge bhai saab." I mean, he said, I completely am blown over with your method. He said, the Panchakarma people said they don't want to do it now. Your 8 days are on. Your training is on. It took just a second for me to just pull back and say that, "God, you take care." And God is always willing to take care. It is we who bring our desire to complain and waste that moment and several of our moments in investing all of our life force energy into something that is absolutely pathetic, absolutely useless. And that's the reason why we need to do this practice. So every time you have this desire, every time you have this overwhelming desire, what you have to do is to just watch it on the projection screen. And if the desire is overwhelming, if the desire is too powerful, you just hold on to the ribbon and ask God to pull you up. The moment you do that, the energy in the desire will just become weaker and you become stronger. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. But what you have to remember is to practice it each and every time. That's what you have to remember. Are there any questions? Are there any questions? Yes.
So few desires we need. I mean, we want to happen it. So. I'll be doing that hourglass, right?
Okay. Yeah, give me an example of what desires you're talking about.
Suppose I want to go for abroad.
You want to go abroad, okay.
So this is a desire. So
point is, now you have to, your desires have to be logical. Now what is the reason you want to go abroad?
Just for like a work experience.
See, you have to be, now we are talking, okay, now take me for your heart, take me for your conscience. You have to be brutally honest about this. Do you want to go for work experience? Do you want to go because you haven't been abroad? You want to know how it is, how will it be to be overseas? Or do you want to earn more money? What is the main objective of going overseas?
Yeah, I've gone there, but I want to see the life experience.
life experience. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, which means that you are desired primarily to experience overseas. You can go and experience it, but why would you want to go and stay there?
I mean, for a short period, not for long.
See, now, this is a question that you need to ask yourself. Do I really need it? Now, is this a need or a want?
It's just a need.
It's not a need. Yeah. If you don't have a place to stay, you need a place. Right? So my question to you is, is this a need or is this a want?
It's just a want. I mean, it's not a need.
Isn't it? So when you ask, you must be very careful when you ask, because when you ask, then you must also be aware of the consequences that come along with it. You cannot just have the desire and no consequences. Everything cannot be hunky-dory. Everything cannot be just glamorous. There are consequences to everything. All right? If you want to be muscular, there is a sacrifice and a compromise. A sacrifice essentially means that you have to give up meeting your friends and you have to go to the gym and start working. The compromise would be that you have to eat certain kind of food even though you are not born in the tradition of eating those kinds of food. That's a compromise. Right? So the consequence of maintaining your muscles would be to just give up on your tradition. And there'll be further consequences. You'd be responsible indirectly or directly for killing other life forms. It adds to your karma. So again, being muscular is not wrong, but how muscular do you want to be? Do you want to be muscular to an extent that you actually give up on your tradition? Or do you want to be muscular just to stay healthy, just to be have a good body tone, so that when you sit in meditation, you can sit straight without for lengthy periods of time without the body getting strained? This is what is meant by bringing clarity to your desire. Is it really something that you need, or is it something that you want? Okay. So this is how you work on your desire. So for every desire that you have to work on it, you have to dig in. You have to work on it to see whether it is a need or a want. Sometimes we convince ourselves that this is a need even though it's a want. When a desire is very strong, I must warn you, when the desire is very strong, the mind will impersonate itself as the divine self. When the desire is so strong, you become weaker and you believe in the mind, because the mind will constantly tell you, go for it, go for it, go for it. And so the mind will impersonate itself as the divine self and it will mislead you. So never allow anything, any desire to overpower you. This is very, very important. Spiritual journey is not a fad, is not something that is glamorous. Spiritual journey is a way of life. From the time you wake up to the time that you go to bed, you are spiritual. You have always been spiritual. Whether you are practicing Agar meditation or whether you're practicing some other form of meditation, going to another institution or following somebody, no matter what you're doing, or even if you're not following anybody or anything, you're still being spiritual. Because you are spirit which is occupying this physical body. But what is the vibration that you are living in makes all the difference. Are you allowing desires to control you, or are you just holding the desires at bay, saying that not now? So you are responsible all the time. If the desire is so strong, you just be like, you know, when there's a story when the story when Ganesha came, they wrote on the door, come tomorrow. So every time Ganesha came, there'll be a writing on the door, come tomorrow. So he will, so every time he comes, he will see, come tomorrow, and he'll come the next day. So do that to your desires. I need it right now. Oh yes, let's do it tomorrow. And slowly you'll see the power in your desire will start going down. So let your desires be needs. I need to upgrade my phone because it's become very slow, because the data is consuming all the memory. I need a new laptop because my current laptop is not fast enough, and I need to process video. It's heating up. It's become old. So these are desires which are valid because you need the gadgets. But to want something that is fabulous, that is luxurious, even though it does not fulfill any of the requirements, it is just too glamorous for you, and you just want it because you saw it. And once you get it, you'll start operating, you'll start getting into the desire. You'll be so consumed in it that you'll forget the very purpose and the objective of being born. Never lose sight of that. So there are a lot of glitter and glamorati in this world. You go overseas, there is something. You go to different parts of India, there is something. You go underwater, there's something. You go underground, there is something. You go in the sky, there is something. There's so much of glamour, so much of beauty. But is that why you are here? It's good to taste everything, but it's not good to get attached to anything. You have to be absolutely careful. You have to be cautious. And before doing anything, you have to master the mind. You have to be its master. If you don't master the mind, it'll simply take you on a royal ride. So before we end, I just want to take one or two last questions. Are there any more questions? All right. So let us end today's session. And I want you to just practice just stepping away from the desire. Don't let it control you. There are companies marketing their products so fabulously that you'll just fall for it. So whatever it is, no matter how simple or no matter how big or small it is, a desire is a desire which can really control you, which can destroy your peace and your mental calm. So don't let your desires control you. Practice just stepping out of the desire and go behind it only if it fulfills a need, not your greed. So with this, we'll end today's session. We'll connect again. We have on 23rd November, we have an outing in Bangalore, and it's a day outing where we'll be working on overcoming our troubles. We're going to be a practice sessions, and we plan to have an outing again in December. That'll be a 2 or 3 day outing, and we want to take you to some beautiful place where you can enjoy, and you will enjoy freedom, not much of regimentation, where you can just love the environs. So look up to our messages, and those who are willing can come, can join us for this day-long outing, and also in December. Thank you so much for joining today. We look forward to meeting all of you again next Saturday. Until then, have a beautiful weekend and have a beautiful week.